We're starting the top of Tzadik Gimel and Aleph. We're continuing with the Gadot of Rabbi Bar-Mari. The next expression that he wants to know the source for, the Tzadik Gimel Rabbi Bar-Mari, Minaha Milta, where do we know this expression? Damri Inche, the colloquial expression. Batar Mari Nichse, Tzibe Mashach, whatever. But Mari Nichse means the rich man, after the wealthy man. Right? So the possibilities, what it means here is that you hang out. Right? If you hang out with the wealthy man, it rubs off on you. I mean that you benefit from being hanging around with the wealthy people, and you also get the, you know, some of the benefits, or the you should do business or be in partnership with somebody wealthy because that will help you out. I mean when they sham is tachakik, but when things are good for him, they'll also be good for you. Right, so this is in Mitzrayim. When they go down to Mitzrayim, Avram, Sarah, and Lot, when they're coming back up, it says that not only did Abraham benefit from the travails and the experience in Mitzrayim, but Lot also got gifts and all sorts of wonderful things. And when they're coming back up, he's also loaded with possessions, just like Avram was. So again, hanging out with Abraham was to his benefit. Someone who asks for his friend to be punished, he is punished first. Shenema, because it says, "Vatomer tzarei l'Avraham, mechamatzi alecha." Right, I'm angry at you. I'm upset about the situation. Here, Asar is referring to the problem with Hagar. Right, about the way that Hagar was treating her. She was upset at Avraham that he wasn't taking care of this or stopping her or throwing her out. So she passes away before Avram because of her chamatzi alecha. V'hani mile, this all applies the itnei dina ba'aro. If they had an alternative venue, which is that they had the opportunity to do it in a beis din. That if you go and ask for Hashem to intercede when you could have gone to a beis din, that's when right then tchilah. But what type of basin? What are you talking about? Where's the proof? From the proof of Samsara, what type of basin are we talking about here? As the Tosafot says, we made Saraya basin shall shame kayam at the basin of shame, and therefore she should have gone to the basin of shame to adjudicate or to deal with this issue. And the fact that she went to Hashem, right, and said it, then she is punished first.
Under what code of law?
Yeah. I don't know. Right. What was her claim exactly? Right over here. Damar Yitzchak, oil of the toek, your term in an itzak. Alright, so this is unclear what this means. It's one possibility is, the simple is, it's worse for the toek, I mean the one who calls out to Hashem to protect him and hurt the other person or get ruin the other person, then the one who's toek gets it worse than an itzak, the one that he's screaming about, the one he's asking to be punished. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that this is actually what we had in the couple of weeks ago. We had in Parshat Mishpatim, right? It says when the Ani, right, Kim Tzok Tzak Eli, if the Ani calls out, if the Adom or the Almana or someone who's oppressed calls out to me, then I will punish them. So it's Oy Lodos Tzoyk Yotermin and Yitzhak. Again, possibility you can see in a second is that the person who calls out to Hashem will expedite the punishment. But not that the one who doesn't have anybody screaming out won't get punished, it just won't happen as fast. Right, so you see that Rashi learns one way, so learns the other way. So we're doing a little tzu'ek, it's different in Yitzhak, Tani Nami Hochi, this is Bryce, similarly, Echad a tzu'ek, Vechad a nitz'ak, v'mashama, that whether the tzu'ek and the nitz'ak are included, Elishim ma'arim the tzu'ek, you're terming a nitz'ak. Right, but for the tzu'ek gets it faster than the nitz'ak. So what is that? Rashi learns this to mean, right, that this is ma'arim min a tzu'ek, so Rashi, this is a continuation of the previous memor, the previous Gemara, and that just like Sarah called out about Avram, Chamasi Alecha, she screamed out about Avram, she was punished first in Meharim Lavo, that her punishment came faster because she called out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to right punish Avram, or to be, she was upset, she had a claim against Avram of Chamasi Alecha. And therefore, she was tzoeik was hurt. The one who was tzoeik was hurt first. That's
the implication that even if one has a legitimate complaint against someone else, better off not to.
Right, right. We have that in other places. That if a person
has.
Right. Well, number one, Marvirin on Midot Tov. Number two is that if you come in and ask for others to be judged, then they also bring your.
It opens up
the books on you as well. So it's not necessarily the best idea. On the other hand, Tosfos over here indicates that he brings that from Mishpatim. He brings down the Medrash, the Mechilta from Mishpatim. If you look, Echad Atzweig, Echad Atzak, Amar Rabbeinu Shmuel, but the Sifrei, Matni Binyan Acher. Echad Atzweig, with Echad Shein Tzweig B'mashma, Perish, Ben Oto Shani Tzweig Alev, Ben Oto Shein Ani Tzweig Alev, Shehem Nen Nashim Alev. Both of them get
punished.
Mistavra, came into Ein Makvir Avotozeh, both of them don't return the avol, don't return the mashkon that they took, so they both should be punished. So why does it say that I will listen to the one who calls out and I will be angry? According to this girsa, it has nothing to do with sara. Right? Rashi connects it up to sara. Based on our girsa, it seems to be because echad atzweik vechad anitzak. Right? If you do echad atzweik as zedak, then it has to refer back to sarak, because then we're talking about the one who calls out will be punished faster. But if you say echad atzweik, echad she'eino atzweik, which is what the Gears of the Tosas want, then it has nothing to do with sarak. This is a separate issue, which is that the person who does abla, who does something wrong to the yatom, the omana, or doesn't return the mashkon that they take, they will both be punished. It's a question of who will be punished faster, whether it's the tzweik or the eino atzweik. And that's what it says, the tzweik will be punished first. Right? So that's why Echad Atzweik, Rashi says, Rashi still quotes it. It's funny that Rashi quotes that pasuk, says, V'charapi v'rakti etchem. Right? That I will get angry at you when they call out. Right? When they call out to you, V'charapi v'rakti etchem. Etchem in the plural. That's what Rashi says. That's a proof that the Tzweik and the Nitzak get affected by the calling out of the Tzweik. Because it says etchem. Right, so that's Shnayim B'mashma, both of them are included. Right, so we have similar types of expressions in the Gemara. Here it's the curse of a layperson, right? A regular person should not take it lightly. We have the expression also in other places, like Lolam Deibriv Katel Jyot Kalabeinecha, meaning that don't take lightly that which people say. My expression is, why? Sharevi Melech Kalel Sarah. Melech basically spoke in a negative way towards Sarah. And it came to Zerah, and it ended up becoming true. Shenemar, Hinei Hu Lecha, or Hinei Lach, Sute Naim, says about Abraham, when Abimelech was supposed to pay Abraham and give him the money and show that, but Hinei Lach, Sute Naim, this will be the way the Targum and the way the Medrash learns it, is that the money that I'm giving now will be evidence that I didn't do anything to you and it was against my will that I gave it back. Because had it not been against my will, why am I paying money when I give it back? So, you know, Sutei, this will cover up things, this will clear things up. That since you covered up for me and did not make known Shehui Sheikh, or right, that Abram was your husband, but Gramte Eli Asara said, caused me all this pain, he was known, she was a chub Banim, probably, right? Banim, 3A9, and it's Kayim Bezara. Right? So that you should have a pet children that have problems with their eyesight. That's what happened this day, by Yitzchak, by Ken Yitzchak, by Tekhena Inav Nirot. Right? That Yitzchak had problems with his eyesight later on in life, and the Gemara connects it to this Klila, this small Klila that Abimelech gave to Sarah.
Rashi doesn't mention this.
What? Rashi. In the Chumash, right, he mentions the other Midrashim.
Yeah.
And it's clear that the Midrashim have different views of what the Kenegah Midr of the sort. Or it could be Hava HaGorim. Right, that's what the Gemara says in many places, right, that it's not necessarily a single reason. It can be a confluence of events that make something happen. So it's, why was it his eyesight, you know, and then what was affected, whether it was affected by the Akedah or Avimelech, they could both be Hava HaGorim. Right, now.
It says that the smoke.
Right. Oh, that's the Ashan from the Ketoret.
Yeah,
tears
from the Kedah. Amar Rabbi Yevau, the Olam Adam min an yudafim velo min arutfim. Right, in the continuation, by a little bit, tell what you were quoting also before. Be of those that are chased and not of the chasers. Shein lecham yudafo ofot yoter mitorim ibn Yonah. Right, the ofot torim ibn Yonah are the most chaste of the birds. And we know from this week's parsha, next week's parsha, that the Torim and Bnei Yuna are the birds that are brought as carbon oaths in the Mikdash. So that shows you that the status of the Nirdaf is much better than the status of the Rodeif. And again, I think that's a similar concept to the idea of Mavirin al Mitotav, that a person should not be too makpid on themselves. They should allow others to offend them and not offend others. They should maybe they should not worry so much about what other people are doing to them or how other people act towards them. Right? Omer. So back to our Mishnah. If you remember in our Mishnah, the Mishnah says that if the individual asks him to knock out his eye, break his leg, take off his arm, right, in this instance, then he is what? Chayav. And it doesn't matter if he says do it or if he says I might not restore. Either way, he is chayav. On the other hand, by the clothing, right, we said that if he says right to do it, then he's, if he says I will not restore, then he is patur. Gemara wants to know what's the difference. What's my shna? Similarly, Ravasi Barchama, the gears probably should be rabo over here. Right, my shna reisha umay shna seifo. What's the difference between the reisha and the seifo? Why by roof are you chayav, and why by clothing are you patur? Similarly, reisha lefisha adam mochel ain mochel al roshei avarim. People are not mochel on their limbs. So if you do damage to their limbs, especially the important Rosh Hashanah, the 24 important limbs, people do not forgive. They're not willing to waive their rights when it comes to this. So he says, do people really mochel on giving pain? I mean, does everybody say, oh, no problem, you go ahead and give me that pain, or you go ahead and hit me, I don't mind. People don't say that either. Tanya, and we have, at the time, we have a brisa. Hikani tziani amenatlik tor, hit me or smash something on me. Amenatlik tor duator pator, and he is pator. So ishtik, it was silent. Amar midish me alach ba. Do you have something to say about this? You have an answer maybe. He says amalei achi amar sheshet. This is what Rav Sheshet said. Mishum kam mishpacha. That the problem is that he can't waive. This is a little bit what we talked about by Boshet, but he can't waive the rights of his family. To have a person within the family who now is a mechutarev, eiver, or some sort of damage that is done to them. So even though maybe he can waive the right for himself, he can't waive the right in the broader context of the situation that he finds himself in. And Tosu says, Mishum kam mishpacha, that is mishalem akol afilu tzar, that he pays for everything, including the tzar. It's not just, right, the nezik, not just the bullshit, but everything. That once we obligate him to pay, or we say a person is not patur, they're not patur on anything. So that's what the suggestion of Sheshet is. So it's my Raboshi Amar Mishum Pekamish Pacha. And Raboshi says a similar thing, that it's because of Pekamish Pacha. Rabba Amar Mishum Shein Adam Mochel or Roshei Avarim Shelo. Rabba says no, person's not Mochel Al Roshei Avarim Shelo. So now that gets back to the same answer that was given above. Right? That's why the Girsa probably should have been Rabba above. And now over here it's Rabba who's making the statement. And Rabba is making such a distinction. The Gemara asks, well, what are you going to do with the Braisa about Tzar? That's what he's going to say. He's going to say there is a difference. A person is not Mochel Al, right? He's not Mochel Al Roshei Avarim, but he is Mochel Al Tzar. That's what you have to say according to Rabba. That when it comes to Tzar, he's willing to be Mochel. And that's how Rabba establishes it. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Yesh Hein Shehu Kelav, Yesh Lav Shehu Kehein. Sometimes no means yes, and sometimes yes means no. The Tanya Nami Achdu, we have a braisa that supports this explanation of Yochanan. Hikani pitiani, right? Hit me or do damage to me. Amanatli stor. If he says to him back, the victim says, hikani pitiani, the perpetrator, the hitter, right? It says, amanatli stor. Am I going to be patur? Ramalo hain? He says yes. So that hain, hariyesh hain, chukalav. That hey doesn't mean yes, but really means no. I mean that the, as Rashi explains it, we'll go with Rashi's explanation so far, hein, yesh hein shukalav, iatama chayav, ibn ichuta, right, then he is patur. Depends how he says yes. If he says yes as a, right, ichuta meaning yes, meaning really that I mean yes, then that's fine. But his yes was an exclamation. It was almost like a rhetorical question. Yes? Yeah, what are you thinking? Right, of course not. You're not going to be patur. Right, that's the hain that you're using over here. So Rashi says the way you express it, the language, the tone in which you say it will make a difference. So this hain was a hain that was galav. Karas ksuti. Right, now when I rip up my clothing, I'm going to restore. Again, the victim says, rip up my clothing. The perpetrator says, I'm going to restore. Will I be patur? Ramalola says no. So what do you mean? Hari lav shuke. That no, again, is what? Is means when you say no, he's going to say no. Why would I have told you to rip up my clothing if I didn't mean that you're going to be patur? So that no is an expression of course. Right? Of course, yes. You know, that's a no. But there could be a no. Right? That is, really means no, which is no way. You're not going to be. Right? So again, if he says, if he tama patur. If he does an expression of exclamation, then he's patur. But, why? Now, according to Rashi, it's irrelevant whether it's goof or ksus. The way Rashi is explaining it. Right, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's irrelevant. So why did the Braitha use the example of he kind of hit me by the case of the yes, and then use the ksuti by the case of the no, and say patur there, one says patur, one says chayav. So Rashi just says, urchay de milton akas. It says the normal way. Why is it normally machilin isha mumone tfei gufei? First, normally we mochel on his clothing or his possessions more than he would be mochel on his goof. That's just Orchel de Milta, but there is no nafkamina. Ksuti, according to Rabbi Yochanan and Gufo, are the same din. It's just a question of how you respond, or how the question was phrased, and how the basically what the interchange, or exchange was between these two individuals. As you can imagine, Tosfos does not agree with this. He calls Rashi's explanation Dochaku. So it says, if you look in Tosfos, the question that goes to Bach, right, the line above that goes to Bach, and Tosfos, he says, Elanir Lefresh, the Niske Gupo, Afilu Amar Le Hain. No matter what he says, when it's Niske Gupo, even if he says yes, Shadoma Ke Omer Binichuta, as if he was saying yes, go ahead. When he says, I'm not Niftor, he says, yeah, you're Patur. It doesn't matter. Mistama Bitmiakomar. It's your underlying thought, the assumption you should have is that when it comes to Niske Gufo, no matter how he expresses the yes, you should assume that it means yes, not literally yes, but yes as, what are you thinking? Of course not. Right? Whereas, Uben Niske Mamona, Amalei Lav. When he says no by Niske Mamon, but Domer Kemor Minichuta. And he says no, meaning literally no. I mean that I'm not going to do it. Mistama Bitmiakamar. Again, we believe that he's saying a bit miyam. I mean, no, of course you could do it. Of course you're going to be patur. Because that's how he started the thing. Rip off my clothing. Shavuot kadin. Right. So then, based on Tosfos, there is a big difference. Groove and mamon are different. Which is what is the underlying assumption? And let's state it otherwise. The underlying assumption is if you make ask someone to damage you as a bodily damage, then no matter really what you answer, if there's any way to interpret your answer as being no, we're going to interpret it as no. Even if you didn't use the right, you know, intonation or the right expression, the underlying assumption is that a person does not let his goof be damaged and you're not patur. The other hand, by ksuto, by mamono, if he says, rip it up, and then I'm going to it doesn't matter how he answers again, even if he's missing the intonations or it does the exclamation in the wrong way. Unless your underlying assumption should be you are patur, because that's what he said to you at first, kara suti. So Tosfos, again, flows better with the Gemara, because that explains the difference between ksut, mamon, and goof. As opposed to Rashi, which seems that it's irrelevant. The difference is really, it's all about the hain and the lav, how you intone, right, your expression. And therefore, why did the Mishnah differentiate between ksut and guf? You should have given it, you could have argued in the exact same, it could have been guf and guf, or ksut and ksut. It would say different, depends how you explain, or how you responded. Alright, now, next part.
Well, doesn't qualify his remark. He says there's a yes that really means no, and there's no that really means yes. Because the same, isn't really qualified, you know,
of which
based on circumstances.
Right. Although he is in the context of explaining the Mishnah, Rabbi Yochanan, so there is within that context it's clear that he's trying to answer the question that we have. Alright, Shvarat Gadi Karat Ksuti Chayav. Very mini. Right, is that really true? We have a Braita that says Lishmor Velo Lavi. Lishmor Velo Likra. That when you ask someone to watch something for you on your behalf, it means to watch it. But not if he gives it to you and says, hey, you can lose it. Or not if he gives it to you and says, rips it up. That meaning when a person, lishmor below the chalek laniim, or he says, watch it and don't distribute it to the aniim. I mean, but if he did say distribute it, the basic premise here is that lishmor, when you obligate someone to watch something for you, they're going to be chayav. That's only when you ask them to watch it. And then if you give it to them in order to, you can lose it, you can rip it up, you can give it away to whoever you want. Those types of expressions indicate a lack of shmirah, or a lack of responsibility over here. So Amar Rav Huna, Lokasha. Right? That's whether it reached him or didn't reach him. Now again, there's a machlokas here between Rashi and Tosfos that explains. So explain Rashi first. Rashi says the atali yadei, right, that he came to him, that he actually got it and he ripped it up. Meaning that he actually physically got the item and then he ripped it up yadei. In that case, he's chayav. Right? I mean, if it got to him and he be a dayim rips it up, then he is chayav. Do'at the other day means that if it happened, meaning that if he was watching it and it got lost now, or if he was watching it and it was ripped up by somebody else, then he is patur. The way Rashi explains Rav Shuna's position is, depends who does the ripping. Right? Depends if you, the one who was giving it to watch, does the ripping versus someone else who does the ripping. So when he says Lishmor, it still obligates you to, right, watch it. It obligates you to take care of it. If you rip it up, you're going to be responsible. On the other hand, if someone else rips it up, or that someone else causes the damage, then you're patur because he didn't give it to you Lishmor. He gave it to you Lechalik Naniim. He gave it to you to Likroa, whatever it is that he gave. So I'm like, Rabba, Lishmor, the Adli Yadei Mashma. Wait a minute, the Bryce also sounds like a case where he actually got it. Because if you're talking about a case, the Bryce says Lishmor. Lishmor means to watch, means it sounds like it got to him. How can you say it never reached him, it never, right, it never got to him? Right, if you're saying the case where you're Chayab is where you actually did it be a dime. Versus the case where, you know, where you're Patur, so someone else did it, and then you're not responsible, but over there it sounds like Lishmor means that you actually got it. You physically got it, and you had it. So why could that, how could that be the case? So Gemara says, Alam Rabba, Habaha Dati Yadei, both of them reached the Shomer's hand. Velokasha, Adati Yadei B'Torat Shmira, Adati Yadei B'Torat Kriya. Depends how it reaches him, how he was given the item. Right? If he was originally given to him to be Shomer, and then afterwards the Bala Pikadon goes ahead, go ahead and rip it up, that does not pasur him from his obligations of being a Shomer. He was a Shomer. And then afterwards when he says, go ahead and rip it up, that doesn't get you out of your obligations as a Shomer. On the other hand, if it was originally given to him at the time of the Shmirah, the original giving of the Pikadon to him, he says, you can rip it up right at that time. Right? You're done. Meaning that you never took on the obligation of being Shomer. So that's the way Rashi explains it. Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos offers an alternative shot here. If you look, it's the last Tosfos over here. He explains it. Perish. If you look at this last Tosfos, Perish. Matnizan shenatam liyado. What's atal liyadei mean? Atal liyadei, according to Rashi, was that he physically ripped it up, right? Whereas Tosfos explains like this: that Perish matnizan shenatam liyado, v'amalei shmor. And he says, watch it. And if you want to rip it up, go ahead. Since he really had some, at least, feeling that he wanted to keep this chafetz, why? Right, so he doesn't say rip it up until it reaches his hand. Because he already gave it open to watch. But he says, watch it, and if you want to rip it up, you can. That doesn't literally mean you can rip it up. What does it mean? What's it indicative of? He's trying to calm the guy down. He says, don't worry, the guy's afraid now. He's taking it to watch. He's afraid something's going to go wrong with the item. The guy's going to take it to base. Then he says, don't worry about it. If you take it to watch, if you rip it up, it's not a problem. That doesn't literally mean you can rip it up. He's just telling him, listen, I'm not so makpid. I'm not such a... I'm not so finicky, I'm not such pickle about this stuff. You don't worry about it.
Don't lose any sleep.
Right. Exactly. Don't lose any sleep over it. That's what it means. Right. How the Mashinitsa, that's how we explain it. Even though it reached his hand to Torah Kriya, Shamalai Vishanitina, Chaiva Kriya. Ubraita, the bright says, Shalom Ati Yadei. What does that mean? Shamalai Tuchavet Tloni Amunaksham, Tishmereuli, Vimrotzenacha, Tikareu. He says, you know that thing over there? You know, you can go take it and watch it, and if you want, you can rip it up. And he takes it and he rips it. The came in chasalav. Since we never had any indications that he cares about it. Before it ever reaches his hand, he gives him permission to rip it up. Right, so again, if he's handing it to him and saying, you know, watch it, and if you want, you can rip it up, then we look at it in the context of him saying, watch it. In the context of him saying, watch it, they ripping it up is just an indication of, I'm not so makpid. The other hand, if he's never given it to him to watch, and he says, listen, it's over there, go take it and watch it, go take it and rip it up, there's no indication that he actually cares about that item. Therefore, if you go and take it and rip it up, it's your prerogative, because he never handed it to you to watch. That's what he's learned. And then when the Gemara is, the Gemara comes and Rabba rejects that and says, no, 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 no. So Ella Amar Rabba, Rabba says, Matisim Adi Adi the Torah Shmi'ah, Bilvad, Vishum Nimlach, Manatam Hoshut Ikroah. The Rabba says, no, no, no. Everything's about that it came to his, he came to him as a Shmi'ah, form of Shmi'ah. Question is, when did he tell him he could rip it up? Right? If he told them, but Mishnah is the case where he got the Shmi'ah, and later on he decides he wants he can rip it up, that's the case where you are Chayav. The Brayta is the case at the time he gave it to Shmi'ah, he says you ripped it up, that undermines the aspect of Shmi'ah. That's what he tells us, learned it. At the time that he handed over for the Shmi'ah, he qualifies his statement. That's the way the Brayta is going to be. As opposed to the Mishnah where it was two separate things. He gave him for Shmi'ah, and then later on he comes and says the Kroah. Right, that's what he tells us. But Tosfos learns the Atul Yadei differently than Rashi. Rashi learns about whether the Shomer himself is one ripping it up versus someone else ripping it up. Tosfos says no. The Atul Yadei has to do with how the Shmirah was generated. It was at the context in which the Kriya was said. That's the position of the first answer, the position of Rav Huna. And Rabba comes along and says, no, 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 it doesn't matter. It's the Shmirah. It's when during the process of Shmirah was the permission given to rip it up. Right now, how Arnico did Staka? There was this wallet of Staka, or there's some, you know, a bunch of money, package of money. That's the Pumbedita. Came to Pumbedita. Afkado Rav Yosef, Gabi Ahu Gabra. He left it with this individual to watch on behalf of the Aniim. Pashaba. Right? He did something. He didn't watch it properly. Atu Ganbe Ganvua. And, thieves came along and stole the money. Chayni Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, "Your chayav to replace the money of the aniim." What about we just quoted the brayso that says, "Lishmor v'lo lechalik l'aniim." If you give it to someone to watch, right, that's one thing. But if you give it to them to distribute to the aniim, they're not responsible like a regular shomer. So why is this individual responsible? I'm saying, "Amalei aniyei depumbedita mikat kait l'hu v'lishmor hu." No, no, no. That when you say lechalik l'aniim, that's when you don't know, I mean, that there's no claimant on the other end. The claimant is, I give you a big package of money, and I say, you gotta take care of this money, and you gotta give it out to the Aniyim. So therefore, we don't know which Ani is gonna get what amount of money. So because of that, you are a Lechalek Aniyim. Your job is to distribute, not to watch. On the other hand, if the amounts of the money that are gonna be distributed to each Ani is predetermined, then your job is not to be Mechalek to the Aniyim, because the Aniyim know what they're gonna get, and they know what they can claim. Because what you're doing then, you're being activated as a shomer. That's what he says. In Pumbedita, they used to get a fixed weekly salary, and since they used to get a fixed weekly salary, or a stipend, that is a tzedakah, therefore they were considered to be shomrim. When he gave the tzedakah over, they were considered to be a shomer, and not mechalek le'aniyim. Okay, it's the end of the parak. Now we head into parak Shi'i. It's just something that we touched on back on Merubah. When we were parak Merubah, we touched on it a little bit. Now the Gemara is coming back, but this is the core area of when is Shatak Zela. When does the Gazlan take possession of the item? And what is he responsible for? What is the Balabais responsible for? So the Mishnah starts out, a Gozeli Tzin, Vatan Kelim. Person steals wood and makes them into Kelim. Temer, wool, Vatan Begadim, and he makes them into clothing. Mishalem to Shatak Zela. He pays the value of the item at the time of the Zela. Why? Because he was Koneit with the Shinui. The fact that he changed the item makes them, or gives them, the ability to make a kinyan here. And when once the kinyan happens, that's the point at which he's chayav. Gazal, para, nu beret. He stole a pregnant cow, vialda, and she gives birth. Rachel ti'una. This is a lamb that is covered, or ewe, that is covered in wool. Vegazza, and he shears it. Vishalem dmei para omedet leleid. Vedmei rachel omedet legazit. He pays from that moment. The moment that the animal gave birth, or he shears the animal, there's a shinui. That shinui gives him kinyan. So that's the point at which he becomes chayav. The point at which he becomes chayav is an animal, pregnant animal, and a woolly lamb. Right. So that's the point which he has to be.
Because there's a difference between both of these cases.
Right. One, he's the active shinui. Right. Yeah, he didn't have to necessarily do anything. It's true. It is true. Gazal para v'nit abra islo. He steals a para and it gets impregnated and gives birth with him. Yalda. Rachel v'nit ana itzlo. Rachel was sheared already. It grew its wool, and then God designed, he shears it again. Mishalem k'shatak zela. He pays like the original time of the Gzeilah, the point of which before it was Tehuna, basically. I mean, he's returned it to the state that it was. Zekal, this is the principle. Kol HaGazlanim Mishalmim Kishat HaGzeilah. They all pay at the moment of the Gzeilah. Of course, the Gemara is going to discuss this heavily. So now the Gemara discusses the first issue. Imri, basically you could say, Etzim Matan Kelim In. That if it's wood that you made into utensils, then you are paying Kishat HaGzeilah. About Shipan, right? If he basically smooths them out, is the word here, but he forms them into boards. He smooths them out. He shaves them down. Lo, that's not considered classified as a shinoi. Semer vatan begadim, wool that he made into clothing is considered a shinoi. Aval in lidnan lo, but if he cleans them, he washes them, he whitens them, that would not be considered or classified as a sufficient shinoi for him to have a kinyan here. Very many, is that really true? Gazal itzim v'shipan, avanim v'sitzitan. He stole wood, and he shaved it down, he smoothed it down. Avanim v'sitzitan is to cut them, right? To place into them. These are the verbs used for the different materials. Semer v'lidnan, wool, and he cleaned it, whitened it, you know, bleached it, basically. Pishtan v'nikau, and he takes flax and he cleans it. Mishalim k'shat tzvila. It's pretty clear from his bright saw that the moments of shinoi, that these items are sufficient form of shinoi. So why is the Mishnah go make the spread so big? Why go from wood to kli? Why not just go wood to shipan? Or why not go from beged and tzemer to whitening or bleaching or cleaning, then from tzemer to begadim? Why are you making such a big jump in the Mishnah? So I'm Rabbi. Tana didan k'tani shinoi derabanan dehadra. Our Tana discussed shinoi derabanan that goes back. V'chosh k'en shinoi deraita. And certainly a case of shinoi deraita. So what does that mean? Right, the shinoi de rabbanan means itzim, wood that you make into kelim. Right, it's talking about itzim that are ready, wood that's already formed into boards or formed into a way which they can be put together into, right, kelim. So what happens? Itzim v'atan kelim v'itzim shupim. When he made the wood into kelim, it's not that there was an interim step that he got like a tree and he shaped it down and made it into a board. No, he got a board of wood. And then he put it into a, he put it into a building. My nina, what is that? Nisarim. He got a plank or a board. The shinoi, the hadal b'raisahu, is something that returns to its original state. The by mishlaflu, if he wants to, right, take apart, right, the item, he could take it apart and return it to its original state. That's the point. The wood, right, what we're talking about here is not a wood where there's a shinoi, irreversible shinoi. And that's why our Mishnah is indicative, are talking about cases where there is reversible shinoi. And that is shinoi d'rabanan. It's only a shinoi d'rabanan. Why? Because it's hadar lebriyato. It goes back to its original state. When it goes back to its original state, min haTorah, you would have to go back, take apart the item, and hand it back, because you were not koned. Why are you not koned? That is, right, tatanas hashavim. Tatanas hashavim is that we don't make a big it apart. We say, go ahead and just pay him the money. That's shinoi d'rabanan. The braisa is a case of shinoi d'oraisa, where he's taking wood and making it into a board, or he's shaving it down. He's doing real shinoi that's not chuzer l'briyasa, that doesn't go back to its original state. So that's a tzemer v'atan begadim. Why is that? The tzemer tavui. Right, that's a tzemer that's already twined. And then the wool that's already twined. The shinoi d'ohad l'briyasa, again, it's a shinoi that will change. If you weave in a ready twined wool, you can just undo it, untie the knot, and it'll come out, and you'll have it back. You can do that. V'choshkein shinoi d'oraisa. Certainly shinoi d'oraisa. Tana Baro, the Tana of the bright side, is talking about shinoi d'oraisa. Tana even shinoi d'rabanan lo tani. He didn't deal with shinoi d'rabanan. He only dealt with shinoi d'oraisa, which means real shinoi. Right? That's certainly the case. So that's how, at least, Abaye explains the difference between the bright side and our Mishnah. Now, on the other hand, the Rav Ashi suggests, Amar Tana didan, nami shinoi d'oraisa tani. Our mission is also talking about a case of shinoi d'oraisa. Eitzin v'atan kelim. What does it mean, eitzin, and you made him into kelim? It's a case where he made him into a buchnai. So buchnai is like either a club or in a pestle and a mortar, the pestle part of it, which is like a club. But in that instance, you can make a kli without being mishipan, dahinu shipan. That's the equivalent of being mishapshitim, not kli. Like we think of kli, right? That where he took them and he cut them out, he made them into something else. No, that he shaved off a part of the wood by shaping the wood, and when he was shaving it off, he made it into a kli. Semer v'atan begadim. But in the case of Tamar Vatsan Bigadim, what about the interim steps of Milabay, of cleaning and whiting that? What about the steps of Tavoy and all these other things you could do? In the case of Namtay, Namtay is where he, the word they use is felt, but it's the case where he pressed it together. He pressed the wool together, he pressed the heart together, where he wasn't twining it, and he wasn't cleaning it, he just pressed it together to make it into a single item. The Ainu Shinoi is Lo Hadar. Right? And that is a Shinoi that doesn't go back. These are Shinoiim that don't reverse themselves. Therefore, they're Shini Doraisa. But they're not as far a step as we thought before. Before we say like, oh, here, we start with an eighth, and you end up with a Kli, we thought you passed by Shifan in the middle. What happened to Shifan? Why did you just go all the way to Kli? Now we're saying that the Kli that we're talking about here is the case of Shifan. That's exactly how you got to the Kli. By shaving it down, he made the club. He shaped the wood. Right? Also by the Begadim, the wool. He pressed the wool until it became a, then it became a flattened piece of wool. And that's how it became a Beged. Not through Libun and twining and the normal process of creating a string of threads. That's not what he did over here. And that's why the Brice and the Mishnah are really talking about the same cases, just different manifestations of the same case. It's clear that it has to be the shaving over here, or the action that's taken on the item has to be enough that it changes the name of the item. That's supposed to point out. Can't be that you just shave the item a little bit and it looks different. No, it has to be that you shave it into a buchnai. That it's something that now is called something different because of the shaving. Or it's called a korah. It's made into a board. Because that is a new name to the item. Now the Gemara challenges this assumption here. It says, Libun mihavi shinoi. Since when is Libun a shinoi? Why is Libun classified as a shinoi? V'rimini lo yispik lizno lo achitzav o. He didn't give it to him until he colored it patur. Livno lo savo chayav. So what's the case here? Here we're talking about something called reshita geiz. Reshita geiz is the first shearings that must be given to the Kohen. There's actually a minimum standard. We're going to see there's a minimum amount that you have to share. You have to share 5 rechelim that are ta'un. I think one of a chetzi. It has to be a certain volume and number of sheep that you are shearing before you're chayav in first what's called reshita geiz. Reshita geiz, you can give whatever you want to Kohen, as long as it's significant enough that's called in Tina. That's called reshita geiz. Now, if they went ahead and you sheared the wool off the animal, off the lamb, and then he went ahead, and before he gave it to the Kohen, he colored it. He dyed it. If he dyes it, then he's patur already. Why? Because it's out, he almost dispossessed the Kohen of it. Because he made a shinoi in it. Once he makes a shinoi in it, the Kohen can't come. And Rashi calls it lo gezel gamurhu, to lo matel yadei. Never reached the Kohen's hand now. Since he didn't make the Kohen's hand now, you can't, there's nobody to make a claim on the item. And he did a shinoi in his Kohen with a shinoi. So the this bright that says, what's the classified as a shinoi that you don't have to pay Rashida Gate? Tzivo, that's if you, well, if you colored it, dyed it. Livno, velo tzivo, but if he bleached it, if he whitened it and did not dye it, chayav, that's not classified as a shinoi that the Kohen no longer has rights to it. So Amar Avai, Avai answers, Vel Kasha, Ha Rabbi Shimon, Ha Rabbonon. The difference between Libun, whether Libun is a shinoi or not, is Machlokas Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbonon. The Daniel, we have a brayso, gazo, tva'o, va'argo, ein mitzareis. So again, this is the case of reshita geiz. I mentioned before that reshita geiz is when you have 5 different animals, you have 5 rechelim, and together they come up to a certain volume of shearing. What happens is, before, as you shear each one of those sheep, as you shear each one of the used lambs that are there, right, you go ahead and then you do something with the wool. Instead of waiting until they're all sheared together, you do something with it. There it is. He's telling you, gazzo. He sheared the first one, tva'o. He twined it, vargo, and then he weaved it. Ein mitzareis. They don't join together to create the volume that we chayav and reshita geiz. Livno. What happens if he bleached it? He was cleaning it, whitened it. Rabbi Shimon Omer, ein mitzareis. Shimon clearly believes that livno is a shinoi. Because it's a shinoi, they're no longer mitzareis because you already took it out of the context of reshita geiz. And the Chachamim say no. Livno is right now considered or classified as a big enough shinoi, and therefore it will not preclude you from creating the volume that you need to have reshita geiz. So now, according to Abaye, the explanation of why one the Braita says Livno is a shinoi, our commissioner, or at least the Braita above said Livno is a shinoi, and the Braita we brought here by reshita geiz says Livno is not a shinoi. That is Rabbi Shimon and Rabbanan. Rabbi Shimon says, Livno is a shinoi. Right? He'll be the author of the Braita above. And Rabbanu will be the author of the Braisa and Reshit HaGez, which says that Libno is not considered a Shinui. Rav Amar, Hav Mahav Rabbi Shimon, both of them are Rabbi Shimon. V'lo Kasha, Hadin Afsei Nefutzei, Hadin Sarkei Sirukei. Well, there are different ways to whiten or clean the item that we're talking about here, the wool. If he's Nefutzei, but yeah, I mean, if he does it by hand, right, that's not considered such a change that it's irreversible. That's not a real Shinui. But if he's Sarkei, what's Sarkei, but Masrei, that means he combed it. He used a Kali. He used some sort of utensil to clean it. That's the case. That case, it's a shinoi, a full-fledged shinoi. So even Rabbi Shimon himself, who says that libon is a shinoi, that depends on what type of libon you performed here. If you perform libon with a clear, like a professional libon or a proper libon, that's something that is a shinoi. But if you just did it with your hand, you picked out some stuff and you pulled it apart and you cleaned it, that's not classified as a shinoi. That is not chuzer or shinoi enough to establish that there's a kinyan over here. Now, Rabbi Chia Ba'amen, had the Chavre Chimbure, that is, Rabbi Chia had the Chavre Kibure. The Chavre Kibure is that he whitens it, right? He just, you know, washes it off, cleans it up. And the Chavre, Chavre means that he used gafrit, he used sulfur to clean it. He used some sort of detergent to clean it up with. So if he just washes it down, that's not considered a shinoi. On the other hand, if Chavre Kibure, if he uses detergent and he or a bleaching item, then that's real libon. That's real libon, and that's the shinoi. Right? Shinoi, because that's when I say bleaching. Like in our mind, bleaching is something that's irreversible. It's something to use a detergent for. That's what Rabbi Chiba is saying. That's the libon that's called the shinoi. Libon, which is that the outcome, you're looking for something clean. If you just do it with water, or the way you obviously just comb it, if you just pick it out, that's not classified as the libon that's a shinoi, a real libon. So Gemara says, Hashto Yishlomar. So we have, we're going to see in a second this, that dying for Rabbi Shimon is not considered a shinoi. Then, libon have a shinoi? So why would libon be a shinoi? So this challenges this price that we just brought, Machlokes Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says that libon is a shinoi. Yet we have another price that indicates that dying is not even a shinoi. If dying is not a shinoi, then certainly libon is not a shinoi. Now we have a stira in Rabbi Shimon, Titania. Gazaz Rishon Rishon Vitzvao. He cuts, he shears one of them and then dyes it. Rishon Rishon Vitzvao. Or he dyes them one at a time and he twines them. Right? So he puts them into makes them into a string. Rishon Rishon Vargo. He takes, shears each one and then he weaves with it. Ein Mitzaref. That is not Mitzaref. Rabbi Shimon Ben Yehuda Amar Mishum. Rabbi Shimon Tzvao Mitzaref. So, here you go. Explicitly, Rabbi Shimon Ben Yehuda says the name of Shimon that if you dye it, that's not classified as a shinoi. If dying is not a shinoi, then have the other bright bitter of Shimon says that they're not mitzvah because the libun. Libun is considered a shinoi according to Rabbi Shimon, which is a process before the dying. So how could that be? So Amar Abaye answers Lokasho, Harabon and Alibud Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon Yehuda, Alibud Rabbi Shimon. So, you know, Rabbi Shimon is not quoted here as just being Rabbi Shimon, it's Rabbi Shimon by Yehuda in the name of Rabbi Shimon. So you have Rabbanan in the name of Rabbi Shimon, and you have Rabbi Shimon by Yehuda in the name of Rabbi Shimon. Two different Tanayim, two different authors of these positions. Rav Amar, Dolam lo pligi Rabbana leid Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda. No. Nobody, the Rabbana don't disagree Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, meaning Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda quotes Rabbi Shimon. That Rabbi Shimon sheet is consistent across the line. How is that? V'shani teva, ho v'yachol ha-biro, yidei tzvon. Because coloring or dyeing is different, because it can be removed or erased by using soap or some sort of detergent.
Bleach.
Right, or bleach. You can clear it off. You can undo the dyeing. What about the case where he says that he didn't have enough time to give it to him when it was tzvos patur? Right? And we establish it as being everybody's position. Even Rabbi Shimon agrees by dying that that's classified as a shinoi. We just said here that tzeva is not a shinoi. So we evolved that price above. We said Rabbi Shimon says tzeva is a shinoi. How do you explain that difference? It is the kala ilan, the lo abar. And the kala ilan, which is a very strong dye that takes and does not get removed. This is a very strong dye that's, you know, not washable, right? It's not removable. That's classified as a shinoi according to Rava. We'll start the next Gemara quickly and then we'll get to the rest of it tomorrow. But we have Abaye and Rava who explain this Gemara throughout differently, right? We have our Mishnah that Abaye explains, that our Mishnah is Tana Didan, is talking about shinoi Drabana, and shinoi that is Chuzer Lebriato. And the Breitzah is talking about a case of Shinoi Doraisa. Rav Ashi complains and disagrees and says everybody's talking about Shinoi Doraisa, and the Shinoi in our Mishnah has the same Shinoi of the Braisa. It's just a case where you form a kli by doing shifan, or you form a, right, you form a beged by doing some sort of process that's early on in the process. That's where Rav Ashi explains it. And we had the problem with the Braisa. The problem with the Braisa is that our Mishnah indicates that libun, or the way we're explaining the Mishnah now, is that libun is a form of Shinoi. Right, and we have a braisa that says that libun is not a form of shinui. So how do we explain the braisa versus our mishnah that says that it's a shinui? Right, so that whereas we come along a bais, there's no problem. That's a machlokas Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan. Rabbi Shimon believes that libun is is a shinui, right? And the Chachamim believe that libun is not a shinui according to a bais. So that explains the braisa that says that Libun is a Shinoi will be authored, or the position that Libun is a Shinoi will be authored by Rabbi Shimon, and the Braisa that's authored that says Libun is not a Shinoi will be authored by the Rabbanan. Now, what do you do with Rabbi Shimon? We have another position of Rabbi Shimon that says that even dying is not a Shinoi. How do you say Libun is a Shinoi? So Abai says, no problem, that's Rabbi Shimon by Yehuda. That's Rabbi Shimon by Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, but the Rabbanan in Rabbi Shimon believe that Libun is a Shinoi, and dying would be a Shinoi, right? And then you have Rabbi Shimon Yehuda says that Libun probably, and even Seba, none of that is a Shinoi. That's our Bais explanation. Rabba, on the other hand, says no. Rabba says that both Braisos are Rabbi Shimon. Both Braisos, one that says Libun is a Shinoi, and one that says Libun is not a Shinoi, both of them are, right, according to Rabbi Shimon's opinion. What's the difference? How you did the Libun. If you do hand Libun, that is not, that's something that holds the Briyasa, that's not considered Libun, that's a Shinoi. Whereas if you did it with the Masrek, you do it with the comb, that's a Libun. What about this Braisa that says that Rabbi Shimon, says the name of Rabbi Shimon, that even Seba, even dying, is classified as Libun? So Rabbi says, no problem. No, that Braisa also agrees with the Rabbanan. Because what did the Rabbanan establish before? That Libun, that reverse, can be reversible when you do it by hand. That is not classified as a Shinoi. Only when you do it Matzrik, where it's like almost such a process, a skilled process, that it's irreversible, that's when it's classified as a Shinoi. Same thing with Zeva. If Zeva could be reversed, that's not really a Shinoi. And since you could reverse the dyeing here by using a detergent of some sort, that does not classify as a Shinoi. On the other hand, if you use Kali Ilan, that if you use a dye that holds, that sticks, and does not come off, right, that, even according to Rabbi Shimon, we'll classify this. You know what I mean? That's how Rav explains the entire, right, the flow of the sequences here. Now, Amar Abaye. Abaye says, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Ubeit Shammai, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Rabbi Shmuel, Kulu, Svirlei, right, everybody, all of them hold, Shinoi ben Makomo Omeid. Even though there's a Shinoi, there is no Kinyan over here. Right, so we saw Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Hadamran. That we saw already. That we saw already, which is Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda says in the name of Rabbi Shimon that even if you die something, that is not classified as a Shinoi. So truthfully, that is not really the position of Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda. Because if you remember, that price that brought it says that if he was Tva'o or Go, if he twined it or he weaved it, that is a Shinoi. So Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda really believes in the name of Rabbi Shimon that a Shinoi does work. He just says that dying is not a Shinoi. So Tosfos over here says that's the way the Gemara does it in many places. When you have a position that sounds the same, even though the reasoning behind the position is a little different, the Gemara says they all said one thing. Not that they literally said that the reasoning is the same, because Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda believes that Shinoi really does work when you have a real Shinoi. This is just not a Shinoi. But nevertheless, something that for other people is classified as a Shinoi, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, the name of Shimon, says that is not a Shinoi. That's what the Gemara is pointing over here. Beit Shammai, Ma'i. What's the position of Beit Shammai? This is the Gemara we had earlier. That's why I'll do it now, and then we'll do the others tomorrow. This verse that we had earlier in the Masechta, Tamachay, the Tanya, Natan la chitim be'etnana. He gave payment for the services provided by the Zonai, paid their, right, chitim wheat, but san solid. And then they're made into solid. She makes them into flour. Zaytin, she gave her zaytin, Masan shemet, she makes them into oil. Anavim, Masan yayin, he gives her grapes, and she makes them into wine. Tani chada asur, tani idach mutar. We have two different brayos. One brayos says you can bring such an item on the mizbeach. One says you may not bring such an item on the mizbeach. Rambam Rav Yosef, tani guryon ma'as pork. Right, Rav Yosef says that guryon ma'as pork explained Beit Shammai usrim u Beit Hillel matirin. The difference in these brachos is the authoring of these brachos. One is Beit Shammai, who says it's Asur, and one is Beit Hillel, who says it's Mutar. My time at the Beit Shammai. What's the reasoning of Beit Shammai? Again, we saw this earlier. I'm across Gam. Right, it says by the Etnanim Zonah, it says, right, Gam. And what he said there, Gam Shnehem, the Rabot Shinu Yehem. So Gam Shnehem is Rabot Shinu Yehem. So since it includes any changes that are made to them. Beit Hillel, Amakra, Haim, Velo Shinuim. These items, and not that which changed for them. Beit Shammai, Akdiv Haim. What about Haim according to Beit Shammai? How will we violate Haim Velo Vladutehim? Again, they are restricted from going to Mizbeach, but derivatives of these products are not asur from going to Mizbeach. Whereas changes in these items are still classified as being Etnan Zunah and Mechir Kelev, and therefore they cannot be brought on the Mizbeach. Ubekelel, Tarte Shema Mina. Haim Velo Shinuim, Haim Velo Vladutehim. Haim can mean them literally, and nothing else. Nothing else means both derivatives and changes in the same product that is excluded in. What about the gum for Beit Hillel? Right? But there's Mechir Kelev Etnan Zunah has gum. What do they do is they just gum the Beit Hillel Kasho. And then we have the Gemara. They're also the gum for Beit Hillel is a problem because they have no limud for the extra word of gam. Okay, we'll stop over here and we'll continue with the other Tanaim that were mentioned by Abai that share this common theme of that a shinoi. Even though something's changed, it still retains the original restrictions. Again, we started with Shimon Yehuda so far, which is if you're dying it, it's still not a shinoi and the Gazban does not own it yet. And or Rishi Gaze is really the example there. It's not classified as being taken away from the Kohen. And we saw Beit Shammai who says by Yadnan Zonah, even if you have a shinoi that does not allow you to bring it on the back, that does not take it away or out of the partial of Etnan Nezonah, Mechir Kelev, in order to qualify it for the Mizbech. Let's stop here.